5:01 on my clock, 5:03 on the city council clock. All right, we should get started. Today's work session meeting here, is there a presentation we're going to be, we'll be giving that presentation?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Oh, the one that we did not complete the other day. Okay, great.
Thanks for your patience on that, by the way, we had a lot of questions last week, or 2 weeks ago.
All right, great, budget information, what have we got?
So, good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. So we'll continue our presentation where we left the last session. It was midway the water capital budget. So it literally the last part considering the transmission and distribution improvement. Only important thing to highlight here is the new program addition that got added with the new lead and copper regulations that got placed. So the part of that by October of 2024, we need to complete our water networks inventory and come up with a plan to basically remove lead and asbestos from our system, and we need to get that plan approved by Department of Health. And afterwards, it will be the implementation of how we're gonna remove lead from our system in the following 5 years. So the major portion will be developing our water networks inventory and then putting together a replacement plan for getting it approved by 2024.
Sam, could you increase the microphone at all? Thank you.
As far as lead and asbestos go, do we have any idea about what percentage of our water pipes are sloughing off a significant amount that we need to replace, and how many feet might that be?
With my understanding, I do not have the background to answer that question right now, but I think I can get back to you via email because I need to get in touch with our water supervisor.
Is there kind of a rule of thumb of if pipe's 50 years old, it definitely has it. If it's 30 years old, okay.
Yes.
And do we know like what the average age of our pipe is? I know this is getting into the weeds, but 1.7 million doesn't seem like a lot. To me,
I was going to say this seems like enough. We've got a lot of AC pipe out there, which I'm sure that we do. We've probably got tons of 6 and 8 inch AC pipe out there.
Yes.
And then I know a lot of houses.
Hey, Gar, can you explain what AC pipe? I'm ignorant of it. I just know every time I talk to the water guys, they're on. Okay.
It's a great pipe, and it's a concrete mixture of asbestos, and it was a fine idea at the time.
Okay.
It's a fiasco to take it out because it breaks and cracks.
Okay.
And I think it has a shelf life. It all has to come out.
Yeah. So what we will be planning is there are grant programs going on. They term them as loan forgiveness programs, and they help municipalities like our size to basically get rid of lead and asbestos from our water network.
Okay.
And they also, like, there are chances that they will, that those grants will be in to replace not only the municipality side, but also the laterals to the customers.
Just, I mean, and I know this is probably not what you wanted to get into, but, you know, these kind of long-term projects scare me. I own an old home, and every time I bring a contractor out for a $300 job, it costs $3,000, right? Because you pull open something and there's something old there. And that's what our water system is like. So are there alternatives to like replacing all the pipe? Is there a way, for example, would it be cheaper to, like, I have a 100-year-old home, maybe I have lead and asbestos coming into my home. Is there a cheaper way that a filter can be put in from the pipe in the city coming into my home specifically without replacing $400,000 worth of pipe? I mean, is that even an option? Because now I have a worry about this. Like, I'm worrying about the sewer and I don't want to have to do that in a few years.
So as per the recent guidelines by EPA, they have not provided that option. Their very first call is basically get your inventory sorted.
Okay.
How much is there?
Okay.
And afterwards, there might be eventually as this program develops. But right now, if you ask, they just want us to give them a plan of the
report. Okay, great. So this is really a wag, this what we're going to be doing.
Yes.
It's just, okay. All right, well, that's fair. I just wanted to ask those questions because I didn't want to have, you know, I don't want to have to ask them 5 years. I want us to be thinking about it now. So thank you.
It's appreciated.
And a quick question with that. As we're replacing the sewer, do we have opportunity to also replace water line as we go?
Yes. So at the D Street sewer project, so wherever that sewer line and water main is crossing, we are replacing if it's asbestos on 10 feet on either side. So we are doing replacements as a part of sewer as well.
10 feet on each side?
Yes.
Do they have to, how far are they up to the ground?
So say there's a sewer main and there's a water main crossing. So whenever there's a water main crossing, because our sewer main's replacement trench will be that wide and it can cover that portion without starting a new project of water main replacement. So whatever will be encountered as part of a sewer replacement, we will be replacing that as a water. But it will be segregated during construction so that there's no chances of contamination.
Those leaks, those concrete asbestos pipes, as soon as you start moving the earth near them, they break.
Yes.
They just come apart. The dirt's basically holding most of those together at this point. So
but if you say this down, this is about 15 feet. So I got to go down 15 feet and out 20, so 10 each side.
Yes.
That's a lot of earth. I mean, that's it. If we got through the hole, that's all.
Garth, are you saying that when they don't have water flowing through them and they're dry and they're constructed?
They always have water.
No, but I'm saying when they're being removed or something like that, that's where they might shatter into the powdery form.
Even if you excavate, because your sewer lines are going to be deeper than your water lines, you're going to have to go underneath them. I'd be surprised if a lot of them didn't break doing that, just because they're super brittle. They're very brittle. They're very fragile.
Right.
Moving the earth around them,
or
right?
They're like 50 or 70 years. Oh, at least
but is that brittleness where the toxicity of asbestos?
Mostly asbestos starts to break and come apart.
Then it's the problem of asbestos.
Sure.
Okay, but as long as it's in the ground undisturbed, water keep flowing through it, it's not that problem.
But once the pipe breaks, is the soil then contaminated?
No.
And then, okay, so we don't have to worry about abatement by having to remove the dirt.
No, it's just like whatever the portion of the pipe is removed, we will dispose it according to the guidelines.
Okay.
Because as long as the pipe is intact in place, water is flowing, it is not contaminated. As long as we break it and it comes into contact with air, that's where it comes
as
to
it is.
It's airborne.
Okay. Next slide basically summarizes our financial summary of the water projects. So for our 2023, the projects that I proposed, the cost we are having is around $4.32 million. This involves water line replacements and all the projects that we discussed earlier. From 2024, we will be going out exploring some vigorous funding opportunities, some state revolving funds, and the lead and replacement plans that I touched bases earlier. So basically, while 2023 projects are out, Public Works will be looking for funding and grant opportunities to fund the projects that we proposed for 2024.
The $500,000 grant, is that a sure thing, kind of a sure thing?
For the $500,000 from Whatcom County?
Potential from Department of Commerce for the Wellfield pump station?
So I have not added that amount here in the summary because I still need to get the confirmation that if it's a sure thing. That's why I have not included in the budget. But if it's a sure thing, that will definitely help our budget.
And what's your gut tell you? Likely? Not likely?
Most likely, Logan.
Okay, good.
And the $500,000 for 2024 under ARPA that's highlighted in red, I highlighted in red because I wanted to earmark it because we needed all sorts of funding if we really want to replace our Wellfield Reservoir in 2024 that we'll be designing next year. And that's also a major project because 200 million gallons of a tank is worth of like $4 million in construction. So that's a big hit for 2024 budget, and that's why we want to secure good funding for that project as well.
Sorry about that. Dan, just kind of from my own thought process, what's the annual revenue we get out of the water department as far as billing goes?
$1.5
About $2 million.
About $2 million. So this fix, it's about 9.5 years of revenue, this six-year fix. Okay, I'm just in my head, because that's a lot. I know we're going to have to do a lot to get that money, so.
Also, any improvements we do in Bellfield is a cost share with Birch Bay as per our agreement. But the thing is, they pay us back as part of rate and not like a fixed amount upfront. So that's also we needed to account while developing a budget, that we need to make sure that we have our funding sources in place.
Right. Okay, great.
I still.
Yeah, that microphone is turned up all the way.
Oh,
so as Andrew, if you can.
I'll speak louder.
Wide open.
It needs to be a little louder. No, the microphone's made a little deficient.
Okay, I'll try to speak louder. So the next fund on our list is transportation 2023 CIP. There are a total 15 projects on the program. 10 of the projects are proposed for 2023. 5 will be in design feasibility stage, 4 in design and construction, and 1 will be waiting council's final decision. So I would like to bring your attention to 2 major projects. One is the Peace Portal revitalization or downtown revitalization, which we know we have a council action that we are waiting on council's decision that if it will be awarded or not. And the new one introduced to the list is Bell Road number 15 at the very end. That is Bell Road Peace Portal intersection improvements, also known as Grade Separation Project. So the city, with the help of BNSF, is trying to revive the old Grade Separation Project at the Bell Road, and we are putting together efforts to target the federal grant raise or infra, which will fund 80% of the project. We have incorporated $96,900 for 2023 to cover our initial feasibility study, the all the work that we need to put together to prepare the grant application, and also Public Works, City Manager's Office, and our planning department. We are working together to put together all the effort that we can to complete that application on time, and also to target all our partners that can be potential partners on this project, and also who can support us financially for the grant match. One of the biggest projects that got introduced in 2020, that will be introduced in 2023 as part of our CIP.
What was the total cost of that project?
It is still in feasibility study. It is still in feasibility study. So just to put a number on that the potential cost will be around 50 or 60 million.
And what kind of time frame are we looking for that?
It will be overall, it will be a 4 to 5 years after. Oh.
Think about the Thornton Street overpass ad in Ferndale, not overnight thing.
Yes, exactly. And right now we are basically putting together detailed project description that what will be covered, what actual cost we are looking at, or what time frame we are looking at, considering all the permitting agencies that will be involved and the overall cost that will get involved with this.
And Burlington Northern is the...
They are supporting City of Blaine for this project.
You know, that's the part. Burlington is Burlington Northern is the government.
That's Ferndale.
So the city
got that money from DOT through the Transportation Improvement Board and a few other sources. But a lot of that money was actually allocated to the City of Blaine initially.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that was a big old deal. Yeah, it got switched to Ferndale.
Yeah.
It's just a transportation project's financial summary. So overall in 2023, the proposed project's cost will be around $6 million. A part of those projects will be funded by various state grants, federal grants, and also the TBD sales tax money. There will be residual balances and will be opening, but it shows that as per the projections that in 2024, we will be going into negatives, but it's like if the FEMA and all the federal money gets kicked in, then we'll be in a good spot. One thing I would like to point in the transportation projects list, is that we have moved a lot of TBD proposed projects, and we have included that in our planning. Major ones like a pavement preservation program, we are starting in 2023. It will be a recurring effort for next 5 years. The sidewalk safety program is the another one. It will continue for 3 years. And then there's residential street improvements program that will, in 1 year, will do evaluation, design, and permit. And the following year will actually do the construction work. So these are the three targeted street improvements or pavement improvements that we have included into the transportation. All these projects will be funded by PBD money as they were identified in the list earlier. I'm sorry, you missed that earlier before the summary. The next on our list is basically general government or general government buildings. There are a total of 10 proposed projects. 7 improvements are proposed for 2023. The important ones we have is the very first one is the rooftop unit replacement in the Banner Bank building. That's our City Hall building, and it's for 2023. The next one for 2023 is the community center's siding replacement, rooftop unit replacement, and the replacement of pavilion floor. The next one we have from safety standpoint of view, we want to harden the public facings at our City Hall's third floor. And the ones we have, as you know, during the old City Hall demolition, we have identified contaminated soil. So we want to test it further so that we can map the area that's actually contaminated and start following up with Department of Ecology on any mitigation measures that are out there and if there's any fundings that we can get so that we can get rid of the contaminated soil eventually.
Could you shed some light on if we're going to spend $100,000 to harden the public-facing counters? Could you give me a little detail as to what exactly that means and why it costs $100,000 to do that?
So, as it was portrayed to me from our planning and the City Hall, it was like any facility where our employees are interacting with the public, we want to harden that surface. And due to a little recording incident that happened at Public Works building earlier, and I think Gary can fill you in on that.
Yes, so the intent is just you have a barrier between, public-facing staff and the public. Just, in today's day and age, where security's a big concern.
Glass, like a casino teller would have.
Correct.
Okay, because this euphemism here, harden, that's not very obvious what that meant to me here.
Basically, it would just control access as well. There would be no way for the public to be able to get back behind the screen. A couple of the stations will require some doors with some card locks type scenarios, and then with the hardened glass, at the counter.
Have you ever had an issue there? Do you know?
We've had upset folks, of course. We've had those. And then at Public Works, we had the Freedom audit came out and was filming at Public Works. And that just highlighted that we, especially the Public Works building, it's free access. You just come right around the desk and you're in. So that kind of highlighted things, and then we just did a tally, the rest of them. We have 3 total public-facing, desks. So, we thought it might be time, it might be appropriate to definitely take some measures to shore that up a little bit.
Thank you. Continue, please.
And then the following general government's building CIP parks will be presented by our city manager. Thank you.
Good evening, council. I'm going to present this, and if you have any deep dives into some of the projects, I'll be looking to some support from our CDS director. But I'm going to see if I can step back here just a minute. So we have a total of 8 projects in the program this year. Of those, 2023, or five of those projects, two are design and feasibility studies, three are design and construction. I'm going to have to get my paper. Let's see that. So what you're seeing in front of you now is the list that was provided to the Parks and Cemetery Board, along with working with Public Works Department. So you can see the 30 top, and this, some of these projects are not new to you, which include the parks, the Marine Park Shoreline Reconstruction, $900,000, G Street Pavilion Design and Engineering, $118,034, Martin Street Parklet Design, Plaza Design and Build for $125,000, Marine Park Master Plan Work, Site Work for $35,000. Stillman Park Expansion Design Build at $40,000. East Maple Ridge City Park Design at $15,000. And East Maple Ridge City Park Land Prep for $40,000. And the last is Simeon Mosquit Trail for $120,000. After the Parks Board had a chance to look at the list and work through it, they've pretty much agreed with all of the recommendations from staff, with the exception of the Simiamo split, which they felt strongly should be pulled out of the CIP. And the reasons for that, I think, is that they felt that it had been in the queue a long time and that those funds could be reallocated to other kinds of projects in the city. So there was lots of discussion around that. That is not a staff recommendation. We would recommend, at least for the time being and into next year, to maintain that schedule as proposed at 120, and maintain that project at this time. So that's something that, just for you to know, Parks Board had a different opinion about it than my recommendation to you, which is to stay at 120,000, at least for the coming year. And at the end of this year, you can revisit this list and see if this is still something that's a priority for you. Yes.
I just was talking to someone out there from...
Would you speak into your microphone? I can't hear you.
So I was talking to a person out at whatever those condos are there. They actually called me. And they said, does the city know that we bought another parcel of land in front of our... Like when you're looking at Mount Baker, they bought the parcel of land that group did. And they said... I don't know if they even have looked at it, but they could move that trail. They wouldn't have a problem with that. Move that trail that goes around and come right back. But they didn't have this before. And I think they purchased this in the last 3 to 6 months.
So I had heard that they had purchased that land.
Okay.
To preserve the open space in front of their building.
Yeah.
But we haven't had a conversation about relocating the trail. So we would certainly be interested in talking to them.
Okay.
And you know, obviously their goal is to complete the trail system that's been proposed on the spit. And so we're looking forward to that conversation.
So we've got a lot here over the next 6 years for parks. And I know some of this is flexible. You know, some of my concerns with park stuff is a lot of times it's the easiest one to cut, right? When money starts, when revenue starts getting low, that's not so easy to cut. You know, utility workers and cops and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's a lot here, and I don't even see anything about cemeteries, and there's always some sort of marketing and tourism thing that could be lumped in. I mean, is there a need for us at some point, not now, not tonight, not before the first of the year, but at some point to look at maybe putting some sort of initiative forward to the voters about creating a parks district that's taxed, and then there's a set group of monies that are dedicated just to parks and just to parks maintenance. So if they want to spend $2 million on a skate park, they can, or if they want to spend $2 million on the cemetery, they can. I mean, is that something, because you've got a lot of experience in this business, is that something that you feel like could be advantageous?
So, you know, I'm the chair of the Blaine Birch Bay Parks and Rec District, so I have a little knowledge about that. You are within the Blaine Birch Bay Park District already. And so there's certainly an opportunity for a conversation about what you've talked about. The conversation is going to be around a couple of things. Well, obviously, the city puts forward revenue now into the park system, your park system, the city's park system. So Lincoln Park, Marine Park, all of those places that people love to visit in the city of Blaine. The park district is primarily a recreation district, although there's been some work done on the kayak launch park, if you go across California Creek. There's two parcels been purchased, and a bunch of land back in there has been purchased with plans to build a trail segment between Birch Bay and the city of Blaine. So that's in the queue working on today. I'd say that there is, it's worthy of a conversation about that, because there's some things that I think the district has an interest in, which the citizens of Blaine, which is part of the district, would benefit from. That would include upgrading Cedar Center, for example, or creating a new community center for the community. So that conversation has not occurred in any kind of a formalized method or action, but we certainly be willing to sit down with this. The Parks District Board would certainly be willing to sit down with the City of Blaine's Park and Cemetery Board and with the City Council and have a conversation about where it should go. Because we do have two governing entities overseeing parks for the city. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about the East Maple Ridge design, land prep, and build of the city park that's slated for that neighborhood. How does that work, that the city takes on the responsibility of designing, prepping, and building a park for a community? Why is that the city's responsibility and not the developers? Is that because there are park impact fees, and are those park impact fees earmarked for that community?
I'm going to ask our director to answer that.
I think
and also who will maintain it in the long run.
Sure. Thank you, Council Member. During the preliminary plat approval process for East Maple Ridge, there were two tracks dedicated to the city within East Maple Ridge for public parks. So those won't just be neighborhood parks. Those are now city property dedicated to the city, and we will be building parks on those. And that was part of the preliminary plat approval process.
I think that answered part of my question. But in terms of park impact fees, I'm assuming that the development of that community, there's payment of impact fees, and is that how it gets paid for, or those dedicated fees?
Yes, those fees do need to be also spent within, I think it's a 10-year period of time as well.
Okay, thank you.
But anybody could go to those parks. The city owns them, but who would be maintaining them in the long run, the homeowners association out there, or the city?
The city.
City.
Okay.
Yeah, city maintains.
Like every other park, right?
Yes. All right, I think that covers my part of the CIP.
Back to Public Works.
Thank you for laying it out this way too. It's pretty easy to follow.
This is basically summarizing our 2023 CIP. By department and how much money that will go in the proposed projects. Electrical, 2.6 million. Wastewater, basically sewage, 7.67 million. Stormwater, 270,000, because our major effort will be developing our stormwater complex. Water fund will be 4.325 million. Transportation, 6.02. Government buildings, 460,000, and parks will be 1.39 million.
Can you give us a little detail on the $6 million for transportation?
So $6 million on the transportation basically covers our all the pavement preservation programs that we propose that will be starting next year. And I can go over the projects in detail as well.
Pavement, you mean roads, put in roads?
Roads.
So we're not buying a bunch of expensive, you know, F-150s for...
Oh, no.
Okay. I just made sure.
Exactly. So the major line...
Major
line is our Boblet road channelization and the corridor improvement, because it will take out $2.8 million directly. And it is a state-funded project.
Yeah. Can we go back just to that, the sums that you had of all the different ones? The electric fund, the wastewater, storm,
the summary, sure thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
So with the summary, I think we concluded our proposed 2023 CIP as well as our 24 to 28 capital plan. And following this slide, these are recommendations with city manager's projects and the funding requirements with our city manager.
So council, I just wanted to remind you, there were some important projects we had talked about during this budget process. And I just kind of wanted to walk through those with you. The first one is the tax increment financing strategy that we've talked about. I've gone back to the consultant who was presenting last year with when Michael Jones was in the seat, city manager job. At that time, we had agreement with both the owners of Grandis Pond and East Maple Ridge to have a three-way split on the cost of the TIF development project. We've gone back, talked to the consultant. That price has dropped a bit, but the three-way partnership concept still is in place. We put this in the budget. This is something that we have to start immediately. There's a 90-day period which the plan, after it's been formalized, has to go to the state. I think it's the Attorney General's office for some oversight and some requirements. But so to implement by June 1st, or in June, we have to start in December. So if the city council adopts the budget soon, then we're going to implement this immediately to get it started. The plan behind that, of course, is to use the tax increment of development to pay for the infrastructure. In its most simple terms, it's much more complex than that. And we're happy to go through that with you in a study session if you'd like to learn more about that. The next one, going back into the conversation about parks in the city and parks in the district, the city and the district share the facility at the pavilion. If you recall, we built that back in 2015 and 16. The district placed to put some money into the building. Obviously, the city put a lot of money into it. We learned since opening the building that the floor is dead. It doesn't have the capacity to bounce a ball. And so it's become very unusable for the Parks District patrons. Basketball, pickleball, anything to do with the bounce, it's not usable. So there's a lot of demand for the building that we aren't able to access. A new floor in the building is $60,000. I was able to talk to the Park District about a $30,000 contribution to the new floor with a potential match by the city. So this is to replace the floor that's in there now with one that actually performs the way we need it for the building. We just talked a bit about Bell Road intersection grade separation projects. As Manu said, there's $96,900 in the CIP for that. That is anywhere from a $50 to $70 million project. There's a $20 million or 20% match. And so now we're in the process of putting together the grants and all of the paperwork to get as much money as possible from federal funds, but it's going to still require a local match, which is going to be $10 to $15 to $20 million, depending upon how much money the project costs. So we are working hard to figure out how to do that. Obviously, putting together a package of information to take to our legislators, to take to our partners in this county, including the county council, WCOG, WTA, all of the places that could have some matches. In fact, we talked with the water district last week about this and got confirmation that they're willing to put some money on the table because the water line runs through that bridge section that will be replaced when the new project is completed. So this is a very big and important project that actually has legs now. Before, we were really taking the lead from WSDOT. And although they're really important and they're going to be important in terms of the grants and the design, it's their property, right? It's going to be their roads, both Bell Road intersection, Peace Portal, and Bell Road is their road under the state. But the city's taking a strong leadership role as the applicant for the grant. So that means we're going to take a very important role in the fundraising for it. So you're going to see a lot of effort over the next several months of moving forward. And we're going to be expecting to come to the council with updates, but also potentially request to meet with elected officials or others that are helping us fund this thing. One of the most important funding partners will be the state of Washington. They have the money in their CIP for the project they're proposing, which is a new lane with a signalization of the intersection. We need that money to match our needs for the new overpass and connections and right-of-way acquisition for our new project, including a new bridge across Dakota Creek.
So you're talking two bridges, the one over the tracks, and then they'll replace it appropriately.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. And then, of course, from the parks perspective, we think it's a really great trail connection and a pedestrian safety feature that we need to be improved as well. It's a, just a dangerous bridge, and you see people crossing by foot and bike all the time. The next one, I just want to reemphasize the CBL Trail CIP, $120,000. Obviously, we're not going to be spending that this year. We're not into design or into construction, but it represents an important conversation that we're having now with the owners. And as Councilmember Hill just mentioned, there are possibilities that weren't around just a short time ago on how they can make that connection. Then the last thing I'll mention to you is we've talked about workload planning and control, work order systems and management in public works. In Sam's budget this year, he's included software for a new work order system and some other software improvements. That software will facilitate these next steps. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's a $15,000 expenditure that's already in the budget. And I think that would go a long way to improve operations at the public works yard. Any questions?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council members. Just want to talk about some things with general fund now. So just to circle back to general fund and talk about a few items with BTAC. Then also, once we're done with the study session, I think you've all noticed that I did put in there the 2023 budget to try and pass it tonight. We'd recommend to try and pass it, but that's up to council. If you're not ready to pass it, we can put it on the agenda again on December 12th. And we can also have a study session on December 5th if the council would so choose. But of course, I would like to have it passed. I think everyone else would too, but if you're not ready, that's fine. You can kick it to the 12th. So it's there though, if we want to talk about it and try and pass it.
We need to have a budget in place, of course, but we can come back and alter the budget as urgent needs come up. And right, okay.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is that we have to get that passed soon. So if we pass it tonight, that definitely helps. We can pass it on the 12th. You could potentially kick it past the 12th, but now we get in real danger zone, and then you're going to have special sessions to pass it before the end of the year. But I would recommend to pass it tonight, and like we can change that anytime next year. So we can hold at every council meeting, we can do an amendment if we want to amend the budget. So the first piece that I just want to talk about in general fund is that I did put in there a $45,000 increase for a senior center. So I brought that back up to $60,000, which it was in 2020. And then in 2021, we brought it down to $15,000. So what the senior center said that will be used for is mainly salaries, actually all salaries. They do have other items that they could spend it on, but it could all be spent up by salaries. So it's two different full-time positions, or it'd be one full-time and then two part-time positions. And they said it's for office administration and doing office work, program and activities coordination, member service, resource referral coordinator, volunteer coordinator, turnover recruiting. And then also one of those positions would be a senior position that would supervise and train the other position. So they do have other items they could spend it on, but that $45,000 would easily be spent by those couple of positions, if the council so chooses to give that back to $60,000, but that is currently in the budget. I put it back in there. The other thing we had to do in general fund was we had to increase it by $27,350 approximately, and that is for Alex's position, which is economic development. That was paid 50% in BTAC in 2022 and then 50% in the general fund. So BTAC has recommended that be reduced to 25%. So I've made that change, that 25% now is in BTAC and 75% is in general fund. And then the other thing that also is in there is the corporal position. It's not a brand new position, but the chief was wanting to have. So with those new items, it brings us up to now $1,023,000 approximately deficit. So it, which can be covered by reserves. And like I was saying before, this is something that we recommend we pass it with that deficit at this point using reserves. And then we're gonna monitor this very closely next year. And there's a potential that if the numbers coming in the way that I'm projecting, we'll most likely be looking at some sort of cuts or finding some creative revenue sources next year. So the one thing I want to talk about with BTAC now, BTAC has recommended the budget and they had a few changes that they wanted to make in it. One was the Alex's position that I was talking about, making the change, he'd be 25% to BTAC, 75% to general fund. The other change that they put in,
the main reason for that, based on what he's doing for BTAC and general numbers?
I think it's a combination of that. They feel that the general fund should be paying more for it. But I've talked to both Alex and Stacy, and they've assured me he's working 50% on BTAC and then 50% for the general
fund. It's kind of a legal thing, correct?
Well, we'll go into that next. So yeah, I'll talk about that piece.
I can address that. So Alex is, and Stacy, you know better than I do, so correct me where I am wrong. Alex's current position is 50% economic development and 50% tourism. And that 50% tourism comes out of BTAC funds. And BTAC funds are essentially heads and beds funds. The BTAC committee does not feel that 100% of what Alec does for tourism, or the 50% of his job, is heads and beds work. It's general tourism, right? So if you can break it down in a different way, 50% of his time is spent in economic development, 25% of his time is spent in general tourism, and 25% of his time is spent in heads and beds. And that was what the BTAC was looking at. So,
can you give an example of something that promotes tourism that doesn't lead to heads and beds?
Well, off the top of my head, I can't. But a local
July 4th parade.
July 4th parade. Yeah, there's some people that come overnight for July 4th parade, but most don't. So,
okay. And when you're talking about the BTAC budget, isn't that the money that originates from the hospitality tax that is predominantly from the resort?
That's correct, yes. One thing I did talk to BTAC about is that, you know, they wanted to change Alex's time to have 25% to them and 75% to the general fund. But I did let them know that they are getting a bargain because I don't charge any time to them, neither does Stacy. The public works crews that go and control their events, none of that is charged to BTAC. So they are saving thousands of dollars of time that we could charge them for services that we're providing to BTAC as general fund charged people. The other change that they wanted to do, which has cost me mills, is the Plover. They recommended to reduce it from $38,000 to $25,000.
Oh, so it's in the budget. They've budgeted to have money going to the Plover. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, yes.
And does the city own the Plover boat itself?
The city owns the Plover boat, so they reduced the funding. So it was $35,000, I believe, in 2022. Is it 35 or 38?
I think it was 25 all along, and they need an extra 15 or 12 or 15 to improve the
boat. To repair the boat, it was 35 last year.
Okay, 35. Yeah.
Plover maintenance.
So,
which I think is different than the operation.
Right. So the first, the fixing of the boat is in the budget. That's in the general fund capital because we own the boat. So the operations of the boat was $38,000. The boat was in the budget, and they wanted to take that down to $25,000. So currently in the budget, I've changed that to be down to $25,000. Then I've also made the change for the Alex, the salaries. Now, here's where we get into a little bit of legal things, which possibly we could have Peter talk about now. Are you ready to
Before we get into Peter, you said we have about $1.3 million deficit.
$1,023,000 approximately.
$1,023,000.
Yeah, 1.023.
And it says here fund one and fund 001 and 701 reserve in general, a budget of $13,750,000. That's not, we don't have a reserve of $13.7 million.
That's the general fund and the general fund reserve. We combine those in one line. Well, that includes the fund balance also, which is why that number is higher than the actual expense, which is $8.8 million.
But what's our actual reserve amount?
The reserve amount is approximately $3 million.
$3 million. Okay, and
I'm rounding up.
Of which $1 million will be taken out.
Correct. So it would be using $1,023,000 is the deficit projected at this point. So
could you explain to me purview here? So the BTAC are supposed to be dealing with how the BTAC dollars that originate as BTAC dollars are spent.
Correct.
Are they preparing recommendations that come to council and that we agree with or not? Or do they have the autonomy to just say this is how BTAC money?
So this is a piece that appeared. I could talk real high level and he could talk the details. So essentially, they recommend what they want the BTAC funds to be spent. Council can change that, but there's a 45-day process on this. So essentially, you can't just change what they're saying without going through a process.
So if we want something other than what BTAC said, there's a process. Right. We can immediately just say yes to BTAC's recommendations, but to say anything other than yes, there's a big process.
So yeah, and at this point, you pretty much have to say yes because you have 45 days. We have to pass this by December 31st. So essentially, you need to pass this either tonight or December 12th, start the 45-day process, and then you can change it in January with an amendment. And kind of, yeah, work with BTAC to make those changes.
So right now, the city's money that's not BTAC money, we've only got $30,000 to fix up the boat. It's already in there.
That's correct.
And then if we just say yes today to what BTAC says, that's including $25,000 out of the $30,000 that was asked for. But you're saying in February we can come back in and kick in another $8,000 if we felt like it.
Yeah, you can add to the amounts that they want, but it's still, you have to work with BTAC to do that.
Oh, so we have to get them to do that.
This is what Peter will explain. But and then once he's done, I'll come back, and if you have any other questions, and then we can wrap up.
Yeah, good evening, Council. Peter Raffato, legal counsel for the city. And Dan really explained it quite well, but BTAC, unlike other advisory bodies, has some kind of special power under the statute, and there's an extra process that goes with any changes that council would if council were inclined to make a change. And this was discussed with the BTAC on Tuesday morning, I believe, last Tuesday. So they're aware of this process too. But unlike other advisory bodies, their authority under the for lodging tax purposes is to make a recommendation to council, which includes recipients and the amounts. And council cannot add to the recipient list. And at least initially, the statute is written such that council cannot change the amount awarded to any of the recipients, except for there is a process, according to the Attorney General is providing an informal opinion. I think it dates back to maybe 2016, I'm not sure. But that process requires council to say, we want to make a change, here's the change we propose, and I would recommend if council is inclined to do that, to make a specific motion to that effect. And that gives BTAC an opportunity to take that proposal and to make any further comments to council. You have to wait 45 days, and at the conclusion of the 45 days, taking any comments that BTAC may make on council's proposal, then council can take whatever action it deems appropriate as to that amount. Can't change any recipients, it can change the amount. And so if council were inclined to accept the budget, including what's been recommended so far, it could do so, potentially to meet the your timelines for passing a budget. But if council were inclined, it could pass a motion saying, and we direct staff to also submit to BTAC this additional amount or this different amount, and then that could be taken up later by council with a budget amendment.
And so the process is really just a feedback, a requirement to receive feedback, and then we can do then we could do whatever is the council deems is the appropriate thing after having duly listened to the feedback.
As to the amounts, yes.
And it's do I understand it would have to be it would have to zero out so that if council suggested more money went to one thing, it would have to come out of some other thing.
I wouldn't say that's necessarily the case.
So with the direction to BTAC would be, we need you to have some more money on this thing, and then BTAC wouldn't they be faced with unbalanced books at that point, and they'd have to figure out some other thing to do to make it balance back out?
Yeah, I don't know how the reserves, whether you have reserves that you could make up a difference, yeah, BTAC could make then some comments, say, yes, we agree, here are our comments, here's, if you're going to do that, we suggest this other thing. But then council would take that at the conclusion of 45 days and make it.
So as long as we've listened to their feedback, which could be them saying that thing we said earlier, we still think that, then at the end, we could still direct them to do something other than that, if that's the will of council.
It would be in the form of a budget amendment.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Peter, do you know the statutory site offhand?
I have it. 67, 28.
67 28 1816.
And I just, Peter, my understanding has been that this initial action tonight, the city can also decline to make an expenditure. It's not, I think the question was, we have to make the expenditure. You could, it's a yes or no tonight, but if you wanted to change the amount, other than saying no, we're not spending, change the amount, then you go back through this process.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's more than one way to do it. Council, but the problem that council has, as I understand, is they want to adopt the budget.
Yeah, I understand. But you could decline to expend.
That's true. And just for your reference, the informal AG meeting is dated August 17th, 2016.
Thank you. Do we have any sort of summary on how the decision was made to lower from the 37 to the 25? Sort of like an official explanation?
Yeah, I can address that. So the board over the last couple of years has tried to look toward events becoming self-sufficient. Instead of paying, you know, ABC company to do the same thing every year and paying the same amount every year, the thought process has now become, we'll give you more the first year and maybe less the next year, maybe less the next year until you're self-sufficient. That's the theory. And they managed to do that over the last 3 years with a couple places. I can't remember Christina's last name to save my life, but she was getting about $20,000 a year for a number of different projects when it comes to art and different things around, you know, Blaine at the Peace Arch Park. And we slowly started cutting that, and she is now self-sufficient. She gets monies from other places. She also does Hands Across the Border, if that's what it's called. That was called Hands Across the Border. So that was kind of the general consensus, all right? Also, the last couple of years, the BTAC committee has talked to the Plover, or asked the Plover, about their business model. And part of their business model is very inexpensive tickets, you know, $5 for adults round trip, $1 for children, no money for children 5 and under. And we're not sure that's economically sustainable. So the question was asked a couple of times, what are you doing to beef up your revenue? And the answer was nothing, because we don't want to. We want it to be accessible to everybody. And then other questions were asked, what are you doing as far as additional charters? Are you working with other organizations to have charters? Are you working with Simiyamu? And the answer was essentially no. So the BTAC decided, well, they're still getting 25,000. They still wanted to give 25,000 instead of 38. And there are potentially state funds, donations, grants, port funds, revenue opportunities out there to make up the difference. And that was BTAC's kind of thought process on that.
Did someone here have someone?
What percentage of the BTAC funds come from the resort? Probably 90%, 95%?
Yeah, virtually. So it's the tourism tax. It's a large
percent. Something like 95% of money is coming from Semiahmoo Resort. Has Semiahmoo Resort expressed whether or not they are experiencing some kind of an economic bonus by having the Plover running?
No.
Okay. Thank you. We kind of need to shift into our real council meeting. Do we require a recess? Would everyone appreciate a moment of recess or no? Or should we dive right in?
5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minute recess, and then we'll start the main council meeting.
Thank you, everyone.